The world's a better place because you are here to join us. My name is Matt Brown, and I'm the host of the Productive Conversations podcast. And we're so excited to have you. We are about to talk all things NFL free agency. The free agency period, though not officially over, pretty much we have a good gripe and we have a good sense of where teams are going in free agency. Obviously, we'll be back at it a month from today to discuss the NFL draft, but let's get this off-season discussion going, and let's talk about the biggest moves made or lack thereof with the free agency period in the NFL. The great Kevin Schaefer is here to join us to talk all things NFL free agency. What's up, Kevin?
I'm sure you could edit this. I wanted to throw my phone on Do Not Disturb so it's not buzzing while we're working here.
Perfect, man. Well, once you get that, well, we're all set. Yeah, so, perfect. Everything's looking good.
Great to be here. Really happy to be here and talk about the NFL. You know, that's what I'm all about. And I'm happy to get into this free agency recap.
Definitely. Let us recap everything, all the big moves, all the lack of. thereof, and let us show why we're some of the best to discuss this stuff. Am I right?
Absolutely.
All right, Kevin, the way we're going to break down this free agency recap podcast is we're going to break it down through the position. Simple as that. We'll discuss the quarterbacks first, then the running backs, the receivers, the line, secondary, and then we'll go from there. So let's start it off right away. Let's talk about the quarterbacks that were moved or stayed. Let's talk about the quarterback moves for the free agency period in 2024. So, not too many major quarterback moves to talk about, but there are some worth noting. Obviously, we have Kirk Cousins getting the bank, signing a 4-year, $180 million contract with the Atlanta Falcons. Russell Wilson going on a veteran minimum. He's now going to Pittsburgh. And we have some interesting backup quarterbacks moving. Gardner Minshew, I know you're a fan of. He's going to Vegas. Tyrod Taylor's going to the Jets, where it seems they have finally fulfilled the big backup quarterback role that is needed. Sam Darnold's going to Minnesota. Brissett back to New England. Mitch Trubisky's going to Buffalo. Drew Locke's going to the Giants. Interesting moves to discuss. But regarding the quarterbacks as a whole, what's the most interesting move to you regarding all the quarterbacks?
Kirk to Atlanta. And I love it. I love Kirk to Atlanta. You know, he's come from a place where he had a lot of weapons, but they weren't giving him a run game. You know, his O-line was always a little porous. And the defense in Minnesota was good, but never great. He's going to a great situation in Atlanta. A ton of weapons. I mean, you're looking at Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier. They added a wide receiver this year, too. They added Darnell Mooney. I think that team's going to be very good with Kirk. Obviously, the big question mark is his Achilles. But he's a quarterback who isn't very mobile, so the Achilles isn't a big part of his game. I think he'll come back and he'll be just fine. And I love Kirk Cousins to Atlanta, especially in that division, which hasn't been very great the last couple of years after Tom Brady retired, or even Tom Brady's last year was not a very competitive division. I think Atlanta wins that division easily.
Do you think in this 4-year period, how deep can Kirk Cousins lead this team?
I mean, I've been under the impression that Kirk Cousins is a franchise quarterback for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure he can win you a Super Bowl, but if you give him a good defense, and he's going to put up MVP-type numbers like he was last year, the last couple of years, been putting up great numbers with Jefferson, and now it's not just Jefferson. He's got, like I said, London, Mooney, Pitts, Bijan. He has a run game now. He has a good offensive line. If they can get him a good defense, I think he's a championship-caliber quarterback.
Do you think it's almost like when Matt Stafford went to Los Angeles? Do you feel that kind of vibe? Jared Goff going to Detroit, two quarterbacks that have had legitimate success at their previous team and seems to have upped their game with their newfound home?
I think it's similar. I think the big thing is that Kirk's a little bit younger and they didn't give up a bunch of draft compensation to get him. So I don't think they're all in this year. Their moves don't say they are. You know, they could have gone out and gotten a T. Higgins or moved up. You know, they still might move up in the draft for a big time receiver or a defensive player. But I think it's a very similar move, but they're not all in this year. I think they might be all in next year, depending on how this year works out. But I do see the similarities in the move. But I like the fact they didn't have to give up any draft compensation for him. So they're going to have first round picks the next 3-4 years.
Yeah, let's be real. Kirk Cousins definitely is a key big point, a big get for Atlanta. And if there were teams that were in a win now but just needed a quarterback, he obviously would be the number one pick. And for here, after Atlanta's shortcomings last year, they do have a new coach. As you mentioned, all they needed was the quarterback, and obviously Drake London wasn't the guy, or Tyler Huntley. But I think Kirk Cousins, this is a solid move for Atlanta, especially with an underrated offensive line that Atlanta has. Now, I am interested, though, in probably the other major quarterback change at this moment, between the vets, that is Russell Wilson go into Pittsburgh. Obviously, it was bad. His tenure in Denver will be a notorious one. And if you want to go as far as to say it was a complete failure, might not be wrong. Didn't match with his two head coaches. Really clashed with Sean Payton, and they got rid of him. And rightfully so, I think. But he's in Pittsburgh now. Obviously a franchise that has done nothing but win with an established head coach. And also with, you know, major things changing, though, in their little bit of a transition period. What do you think about Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh?
I think that's a huge, you know, brain scratcher for me. I mean, I get it if you're bringing him in to compete with Pickett, you know, someone to push your young quarterback, but then you send Pickett out, and now you bring Fields in. Fields has to get paid.
Exactly.
He has to get paid next year. So what are you going to do? You're going to stick Fields on the bench, and then you're not going to know if you should pay him or not.
They're going to let them
compete. If Fields beats out Russ and Russ is your backup, I think it's a good move. If Russ is your guy and you traded for Fields to be your backup, it doesn't make sense to me, because next year Fields is going to go get money in the open market, or you're going to have to pay him. So it's kind of a brain scratcher to me. I mean, I get it's a flyer on Russ. If Tomlin can rein him in and bring him back to his form, it's a good move. They have a good defense. But then, I mean, you also, if you're bringing Russ in to be your guy for the year, why are you trading your best wide receiver? So it's a very weird move to me. I don't know how I feel about it at the moment. Because, again, if he's your backup, it's not a bad move. If he's there to push Fields, it's not a bad move. But if he's your starter, I'm not a big fan.
Exactly. I thought this was weird too, especially with the field, with adding Fields to it in that trade. You talk about a team that doesn't really have established receivers right now. I believe Pickens is not on the team anymore.
No, they still have Pickens.
Not Pickens, which was
Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson was the one gone. So you clearly need some more weapons there. You know, there's definitely questions if Tomlin was gonna stay or not. I know they made the playoffs by the skin of their teeth, but I feel that this would be a good time, in a rare time, that Pittsburgh would actually rebuild. But you know, you bring in this Super Bowl winning quarterback and multiple MVPs, and it's weird. It's weird.
I kind of love the Fields move.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not giving up too much. You're getting a young guy who's shown flashes. And I think that's a fantastic move. I don't know how I feel about it coupled with Russ. I think Fields and Pickett, you have two young guys, you let them fight it out. Winner's your quarterback. I think Russ and Pickett, the same thing. You have a young guy and you got a vet to push him is great. Fields and Russ together doesn't make sense to me.
Nope. If you know what they say, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. So I guess we're going to have to see where this actually winds up. And as for the quarterback twos who made big moves, as I said, Tyrod Taylor, signed by the Jets. Great move on their part. Gardner Minshew's going to Vegas.
I'm not a fan.
Really? And anyone who's watching, too, he's wearing a Zach Wilson jersey, too. So I'll let you.
I got on the Sauce Gardner jersey.
Oh, yeah, sorry. That's a one, not a two. Excuse me.
But I don't like the Tyrod move. If you're gonna get a backup quarterback, especially to back up your 40-year-old who just came off an Achilles injury, why not get someone who's more available? I mean, when's the last time Tyrod didn't get injured in a season?
I was gonna say you did get an injury prone quarterback as well that can be
exactly
against the Jets too last year.
I mean, you look at Jameis Winston was available. I mean, and he fits this offense very, very similar.
Out in Cleveland.
And he went to Cleveland, which, again, I don't like that move either. But you had guys like Minshew, who I love. Minshew's proven that he's a very capable backup. And he's available. He doesn't get hurt. He's always available. And instead you bring in a guy who's on the older side now, is never readily available to back up your guy who's in the last 3 or 4 years has had injuries. His body's starting to deteriorate because he's old and he's getting injuries, and you brought in a guy who's likely to get injured within the first 2 weeks if he has to play. Who, you know, to be honest, who might not even make it to training camp without getting injured, make it to week one without getting injured. And then all of a sudden you're back in that same spot. If you don't trade Zach Wilson, Zach Wilson's your backup again.
So,
and then you look at it, hey, Rodgers gets hurt, you're throwing the season away again. So I'm not a fan of the move.
I was going to say, Woody Johnson, as early as today of this recording, said if they can't get a trade, good chance that Zach Wilson will still be a Jet. Now, I know, you know, privately you've been a Zach Wilson defender. And do you still think he really has it in him? Maybe gets one more chance. There have been like the rare Jim Plunkett is able to get a second chance with another team after having a bad, after not meeting expectations on his original team, was a Patriot, then found success as a Raider. Geno Smith is another example, obviously from the two New York teams and Vegas success in Seattle. If Zach Wilson wants to get
a quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's another BYU quarterback that did that.
Oh, yes, and Steve Young. Obviously made his bones in San Francisco after not working out in Atlanta first. Was it Atlanta first?
Tampa.
So there you go. It's happened before, but can Zach Wilson, if he were to get the chance again and he stays a Jet, and if he's a quarterback three and Tyrod comes down too, can Zach Wilson on his truly final chance, can he make this work?
I need him to sit for a year, no matter where he goes. I think he needs to change his scenery anyway. You know, I love Zach Wilson. He needs to sit for a year and rebuild his confidence, get back to enjoying and loving the game of football, and he needs to be with an offensive coordinator who's going to play to his strengths. Zach Wilson is not a game manager. And the Jets continually tried to make him play like one. And that's not what he does. He's a playmaker. You need to give him some time in the pocket, and you need to let him extend plays. A lot of play-action rollouts, things that they just didn't give him. So I think a change of scenery would be great for him. But even a change of scenery, I think he needs to sit for a year before he's ready to play. So if you're going in with him as your QB3 with Rodgers and Tyrod ahead of him, you're asking for trouble, because it's almost a guarantee that he's going to have to play at some point during the season. Unless Rodgers is an alien like we all think he is and doesn't get hurt again, it's a very good chance he's going to have to play at some point during the season, and that's not what you want, especially in a year where you're all in, where you could have had a guy like Minshew who almost brought the Colts to the playoffs after Anthony Richardson went down. And the Colts don't have anywhere near as good of a roster as the Jets do this year.
Very interesting to point those out, and I do respect it. And then anything else that really sticks out with you? Jimmy G's going to the Rams. Mason Rudolph to Tennessee. Josh Dobbs to San Francisco. Is there anyone else that interests you between the available quarterbacks?
Well, I like Baker back to Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
I like that for him. I like the money he got. You know, it's a good story. But I have my reservations there because he's been good. But they let a lot of pieces go. They added some pieces, but they let a lot of pieces go this year. And if you're paying him that, that's your franchise quarterback. You got to be all in.
Definitely agree with you. Hey, they did make a push, even won a playoff game. So at least he's shown that he is capable of it. But you're right. The roster looks much different. They did decide to keep Mike Evans, but there's a lot of turnover besides that. So we'll probably break that down a little more as the show keeps going. But interesting stuff on this one. Now I'm really interested to start this convo and segment. The running back position, Kevin. It seems like it's almost at least like half of the NFL's 32 teams are going to have a new running back. Some things that stick out. Josh Jacobs going to Green Bay. Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles. DeAndre Swift going to the Bears. Pollard to Tennessee. Derrick Henry to Baltimore. Devin Singletary to the Giants. Austin Eckler's going to Washington. Antonio Gibson to New England. Zach Moss to Cincy. Joe Mixon to, help me out, Joe Dixon to Houston. Very interesting. A lot of turnover here. Talk to me about the running backs and all the major moves going there.
I hate Saquon to the Eagles.
Thank you.
Not because he's leaving the Giants for them, but you had a guy in DeAndre Swift who was very good last year.
Oh, yes.
And you let him go, and he ended up getting less money than you gave Saquon. I mean, that's not a – you're a championship-caliber team. You've shown it year in, year out the last 2 years. Why are you letting a cheaper, younger guy go for someone who's older, has been injury-prone, and you're paying him more? I'm not a fan of that move at all.
Very obviously, and it's been well-documented here, not a fan of the Saquon move as well. But you also make that point. DeAndre Swift carried the Eagles for most of the season. Towards the end, at least, he seemed to be the only productive player. Now, I've heard there were locker room problems. I haven't heard his name being linked to it, but maybe if you want to see, you know, smoke between fire, was he an issue in the locker room? Because he definitely didn't underperform. And people were surprised that Detroit let him go, but it wound up being the right decision. But that was eye-opening. And then for Saquon, obviously has the capability to be a teammate, to be a huge game changer. But, you know, the things that we've ignored as Giants fans was the injury-prone aspect, but it could be a relief too.
Well, there's going to be locker room troubles after Jalen Hurts steals Saquon's 17th touchdown of the season on the 1 yard line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't like it. I mean, he's a home run hitter. When he's healthy, he can hit a home run. But so is Swift, and Swift was making a lot of plays there. And on the flip side, I love Swift to Chicago. I absolutely love that move. They're doing it right. They were trying to build around Justin Fields. It wasn't working out. And now they built a very good roster for their young quarterback, Caleb Williams, to come into and try and succeed early. I mean, they've got their franchise right tackle in place. They've got a good tight end in Komet. They have a beautiful receiving core with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. And now you're adding a good running back in Swift. I like what they're building in Chicago.
Yeah, you have to give a lot of credit for what they are doing. And for a franchise that has just been so lost since losing that Super Bowl to the Colts, very briefly with Jay Cutler, maybe had a chance, made an NFC championship. But that franchise has been truly, truly ripped apart. And then, I mean, just they somehow made the playoffs with Mr. Trubisky, but that was really it. And what they are coming here, what they're building here was really exciting. You know, we'll get to the receivers after, but Keenan Allen going over there as well. Big, big deal. Do you think this Bears team can finally get another division title again? Green Bay's cooking up something pretty good, too. This Josh Jacobs deal is a big deal.
I've I'm actually not a fan of the Jacobs deal, but I'll get to that after. I'm not a fan of Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, I think he's a very boom or bust guy, and I think a lot of it has to do with his personality, his leadership. Mm-hmm. And if those things can get cleaned up, I think he hates to play on schedule. He does not. I don't see him functioning well inside an NFL style offense, a pro style offense. But if they cater to his strengths, a lot like Zach Wilson, if they can cater to his strengths, I think he can be good there. But that's the big question mark for me with the Chicago team. But Jacobs to the Packers, I don't understand cutting Aaron Jones for Josh Jacobs.
Especially after Aaron Jones, huge in the playoffs. And one of the reasons why they snuck in, I mean, he's the reason why they beat Dallas. Very questionable move.
And Jacobs wasn't the player he last year that he was 2 years ago. I mean, obviously he had that really big season, but then last year he just wasn't the same guy. And Aaron Jones has consistently been one of your best players. I mean, with Aaron Jones, availability is a question. Aaron Jones has been hurt a lot the last couple of years, and Jacobs hasn't missed much time. But you cut a better player just to sign someone who wasn't as good.
And for a 4-year contract, too. He's the highest paid. Well, he got the best contract out of everybody.
And Jacobs is getting up there in age.
Absolutely. And but Aaron Jones going to Minnesota, though, as they're looking to rebuild, what do you think about that? Only 1-year deal, though, for $7 million.
I think that they finally got a running game after they let their franchise quarterback walk.
Ironic, isn't it?
So I did not like the Vikings offseason at all this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something we didn't talk about, but Sam Darnold to Washington, to Minnesota. I kind of like it. I think Sam can play. I think if you give him a good team, he can win you some games. But they spent a lot of money this year in free agency when they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, they could be trying to build a roster if they want to trade up for a rookie or you know, build a roster for next year for whatever rookie they'll probably bring in. But I don't understand their offseason at all. You know, they lost their franchise quarterback and still went out and spent a bunch of money on win now type of players.
That's an interesting move, though. I do think they have a very good head coach and Kevin O'Connor, but yeah, that's a real questionable move. You know, whether they're trying to do this, if they want to get, you know, we'll obviously break this down next month, but if they're trading up for a Drake May or a JJ or a Jalen Daniels, if they are still on the board, or even a Penix Jr. whose draft stock has come down in recent weeks, I guess you would just assume that's what they're building towards. They really trust they can make a run right away too. Still with TJ Hockenson and Justin Jefferson, you have to pay.
And the rest of the running back market, I loved Henry to Baltimore.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to ask the next.
I think that's a massive move. I love Henry to Baltimore. But everything else was just kind of or like a question mark to me. Like, why if you're Tennessee, why are you letting Henry go, the best running back, one of the best running backs in your team's history? You're letting Henry go to sign Pollard to a more expensive deal. Eckler to Washington, I don't think they're trying to replace Antonio Gibson, who was their receiving back. And that's another one that doesn't really make sense to me. I mean, he's lost his legs. He doesn't have the speed anymore. And then Singletary to the Giants, I think the Giants will end up taking one of the top running backs in the draft. So it's kind of an end move because he's going to be a backup. He's going to be a change of pace back for them.
And do you think Henry is the last piece Baltimore needs to finally get over the hump? And really, do you think he's the last piece to beat the Chiefs if it comes down to it?
I don't think the running game was ever the problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had, you know, Gus Edwards out there running for 100 yards because that offensive line, which has been gutted this year, completely gutted, that offensive line was really good. And so it really didn't matter who was running behind the line of scrimmage because they were getting, I mean, though that's a big thing. Henry is coming from Tennessee, where he averaged 0.2 yards before contact. So he was getting hit just as he hit the line of scrimmage, to where now he's going to Baltimore, where their running backs averaged 1.8 yards before contact. So I don't think the running back problem, I think they needed to address wide receiver. And we'll get to that next. I think they did an okay job, but I think they're going to have to take a wide receiver in round one this year.
I think so, too. And there's definitely a lot of good to pick from. But, yeah, why don't we go to our receivers at tight ends? Not too many big tight end moves. You know, Carby Parkinson goes to the Rams. Noah Font staying in Seattle. We have Disley going to the Chargers. Another thing, Daryl Everett's going to Chicago. Might be both over there. Not too many moves to talk about with the tight ends, but with the wide receivers, different story. Mike Evans is staying in Tampa. Calvin Ridley going to Tennessee, getting paid after all that's happened there. Gabriel Davis, a favorite to Josh Allen, he's going to Jacksonville. Mike Williams is going to the Jets. Hollywood Brown going to KC. A lot of other things to talk about here, but what has stuck out to you between the receivers who made moves in the offseason?
I mean, T. Higgins back to Cincinnati. I'm not sure he's worth the franchise tag. I mean, he's a very good wide receiver, but I'm not sure he's worth the franchise tag on a year where, you know, you're still in your window only for the next couple of years. And you need to win this year, and you need your quarterback to be healthy. I'm not sure I love T. Higgins on the franchise tag, because you could use that money on offensive tackle, things like that, and you still have a premium pick in the first round where you can take a wide receiver. So I wasn't a huge fan of that. I think Pittman got too much money to go back to Baltimore or to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
You obviously want, you know, a big wide receiver for your young quarterback, but I think he got too much money. And Evans, I think the same thing. I mean, they're obviously going all in with Baker Mayfield, so that's why Evans is back. But I think those three, I think they got a higher, and also Ridley. I think Ridley got insanely overpaid.
Yeah, 4 years, $92 million.
I think those four, and they really messed up the market this year for a lot of teams looking for wide receivers. I think they overpaid for possibly replaceable wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Is the way I look at it. And I mean, the Titans offseason really confused me this year. It seems like they're going all in around Will Levis, but then you're letting a lot of your offensive linemen go, but then you bring Ridley in for an insane contract. You let Henry go, and then you bring Pollard in, who wasn't as good last year, for an insane contract. Their offseason is very puzzling to me.
Yeah, I mean, Will Levis has shown that he can win, but there's still a lot more there's still a lot more to make up. How do you feel about Mike Williams coming to the Jets on a one-year deal? Are you worried about his injury history?
That's if Mike Williams is healthy, the New York Jets stole him from the market. I mean, it's an incentive-laden deal, not much guaranteed. But if he's healthy, that's huge. He's a wide receiver two, wide receiver one in the NFL when he's healthy. I mean, Tyrod, who played with him, said most people, if a jump ball is 50-50 with Mike Will, it's 80-20. He's going to come down with that ball. And that'll give the Jets a deep threat and over the top guy and a big red zone target for Aaron Rodgers. So I love it if he's healthy.
What do you think about Buffalo pretty much switching Gabriel Davis for Curtis Samuel?
Love it. Love the move. I hate Davis to Jacksonville to replace Ridley. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, another guy who's going into a year where he's going to have to get paid next year, and you want to know if he's your guy or not, and you gave him Davis to replace Calvin Ridley.
I'm just not a fan of it. Slot receiver, too.
Yep. But you bring in Samuel, For the Bills, I think it's great. Gabe Davis could make plays, but he had a lot of boneheaded drops. You know, he had a lot of issues. Samuel is a reliable slot guy, which is what they need. They need someone who's going to be reliable, who's going to make catches, who's going to pick up third downs, and that's what Samuel is.
Yes, and you talked about how impressed you are with Mooney going to Atlanta. The Chiefs were very much in need for a receiver to help them complete the three-peat. Do you think Hollywood Brown was the answer for that?
I love Hollywood Brown to Kansas City. I mean, last year their offense wasn't as explosive the last 2 years without Tyreek Hill because they didn't have a deep threat. Well, they went out and they added a guy with speed who's going to be a down-the-field threat. And I absolutely love that move. It's going to be able to help showcase Pat Mahomes' arm. And like I said, I've said it before on this show, the Chiefs are only going to get better. And that's what they did this offseason. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the L'Jarius Sneed move, but their offense has gotten better. And the way they draft, I am sure they will find a corner in this draft. Because they've been drafting corners extremely well the last couple of years.
Definitely. As you mentioned, need to fill that hole while Sneed is on the move. And one thing I want to go before we switch to the offensive line is the receivers who are still available. Hunter Renfro still available. Odell still around. Allen Robinson. Michael Gallup. Just to name a few, a lot of pretty solid receivers who could at least catch the ball for you and get a few yards. Anyone that really stick out, and do you think could be a late signing coming in and still making big impact on a team?
I just heard a lot of names who would have been big names in 2020, but they're not big names anymore. I mean, you have Odell with his, everyone says Odell's knee is ready to explode. So he's always a huge question mark.
Right.
Renfro is a reliable slot guy who's going to pick you up some first downs, but he's not going to change the game. Gallup's a guy who had a big year and just hasn't done much since. So I'm not moved by any of those. I don't think any of those signings are going to move the needle. I'm sure Dolphins fans will tell you that if they sign Odell, they're winning a Super Bowl, but I don't see them as needle moving moves.
Yeah, he was not one in Baltimore, and yeah, just it's part of the game, I guess. You know, another one, Michael Thomas, who had a promising career at once, but seemed with a mixture of attitude problems and having a hard time staying on the field, it's hurt him. You know, Valdez Scantling had a very bad season in KC, even though a solid AFC championship. Gage, Chark, Agnew, Hardman, all of them. It's just, it is what it is sometimes there. All right. The most valuable position almost in every single offseason is your offensive line. And there were some very big moves. Obviously, we have Tyron Smith going to the Jets as a big one, signing a big 1 year deal. Yeah, Robert Hunt going to Carolina. Damian Lewis going to Carolina. Jonah Jackson going to the Rams, just to name a few. What do you think about some of the moves on the offensive line? If they are available, they did get strung up right away. But usually, if you're a good one, you're not going anywhere. But some interesting moves, to say the least, to name a few.
I had a couple that I really liked, and I have a couple that I really did not like. Trent Brown to Cincinnati, huge. You need to protect Joe Burrow, and I think that's a big move. Onwenu staying in New England, that's big for them. They're going to draft a young quarterback. They need an offensive line around him. Andrew James to Las Vegas, center. Love that move. But my favorite move of the offseason on the offensive line is Lloyd Cushenberry III to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Got a very team-friendly deal for Tennessee, but he is, I mean, I think he's a top 15 center in the NFL, top 12 center in the NFL, and I think they got him on a very good deal in a year where offensive linemen were getting overpaid.
Right, like, and rightfully so.
I love Zeidler to Detroit. Biadasz to the Commanders is another big one I really like. Another center that didn't sign a huge contract, but is definitely a game changer. Ezra Cleveland to Jacksonville, or well, re-signing in Jacksonville, is a big one. They got him for kind of cheap, and he's a big part of their offensive line. There's a lot that I don't like, though. I mean, Jonah Williams to Arizona, super high pick by Cincinnati, but just has not been good the last couple of years. And Arizona's right. in a position, if they want to draft a franchise left tackle.
Could get at there you're picking three, right?
Four.
Picking four. So you could have gone with the whether the Notre Dame or the Penn State one guy to help that. But yeah, interesting move on that one. So unless they want to go for Marvin Harrison Jr., who's an obviously a high demand pick.
Well, I think they're gonna trade out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's obviously for another show.
Right.
I didn't like what Carolina did on the offensive line. I mean, you need to build an offensive line around Bryce Young because he's small. But they overpaid for Hunt and Lewis. I mean, just absolutely overpaid for them. And they're kind of trying to put a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. You know, they made some bad trades that now gave them a quarterback who did not look very good last year. They didn't have a wide receiver core. They didn't have an offensive line. So rather than, you know, try and build through the draft, try and bring in some mediocre guys, they're spending like they're in a Super Bowl window and they're not even close.
Nope. I guess there's just everyone's going for the future. And especially after this season, where more than half needed to start their quarterback too at one point. A lot of injuries to the quarterback position. Maybe that was the scare for the in demand of the tackles and guards and centers. But as I said, if you're good, you're usually one of the first to go, even after the quarter. It usually will go the quarterbacks and then the line after that. So that could be my only guess, but it is very interesting to see how they all unfolded. But that would be my guess on why so many people were overpaid at that position.
And then the biggest, I mean, the only team to add three offensive line, the New York Jets, they had Tyron, they had Simpson, they had Moses. And again, as a Jets fan, I love those moves. But as, you know, giving a real look, Tyron and Moses, they're older guys. They're 33. Both have missed some games. If they're healthy, it's a huge move to secure your right and left tackle in one offseason. If they're not healthy, you know, it's you need more depth. And then Simpson has been kind of an up and down player for Baltimore. He's had his good stretches, he's had his bad stretches, but his good stretches come when he's next to a very good left tackle. When Ronnie Stanley plays, John Simpson has been very good. When Ronnie Stanley does not play, he hasn't been as good. So I think if Tyron can stay healthy, that'll boost Simpson. And I think that'll give a huge boost to the offensive line of the New York Jets.
Going to be very exciting. So let us talk about the defensive linemen. Let's go first. Let's start with the edge rushers. Obviously, an exciting one. We have... With the edge rushers that moved, we had Jonathan Greener go to Minnesota. Leonard Williams stays put in Seattle. We saw Bryce Huff leave the Jets to go to Philly. Daniel Hunter's going to Houston. Eric Armstead goes to Jacksonville. Chase Young goes to New Orleans on a one-year deal. Anyone on the edge that really interests you in terms of the moves?
It's a lot like the offensive line where I really loved some and I really didn't love some. I mean, I love Daniel Hunter to Houston. I think they're building something very good down in Houston. I mean, I love that they're spending in free agency and adding guys that they need to make their defense better because their offense was fantastic last year.
Yep.
Bryce Huff to Philadelphia. Fantastic move for Philadelphia, especially if they're getting ready to get rid of Hassan Reddick. I think Huff would be a great replacement for him. Brian Burns to the Giants, obviously a trade, but I think that was a big move for them, pairing him with Kayvon Thibodeau. And then the ones I didn't like, I don't like Chase Young to the Saints.
No. Do you think it's do you think from getting traded in Washington and underperforming in San Francisco led to that?
No, it's less how much he got paid and more the fact that New Orleans doesn't have the cap space to make a move like that. Mm-hmm. You know, New Orleans has been in cap hell for years now, and you're adding a guy who, like you said, underperformed. And that move doesn't make sense to me. And they gave him too much. They didn't have the capital to do it. And that's, I'd say a Chase Young kind of guy is a, you know, let's see if he develops kind of a 1-year deal, prove it deal. And they gave him a bigger deal than he deserved on a team that you just paid Derek Carr a lot of money. You need to be all in to win it. So he's not the right guy, in my opinion. If you're going to give someone a deal like you gave Young, it's got to be Jadeveon Clowney, Leonard Floyd, Greenard. One of those guys is the guy that you need to give that deal to if you're all in, not Chase Young.
I hear you on that. And regarding the defensive tackles, huge Christian Wilkins, a huge 4-year, $110 million contract going to Vegas. Grover Stewart stays in Indy. Again, Arizona still cooking up some more, adding Justin Jones. Set of Rankins goes to Cincy. Anything in the defensive tackles that is worth discussing?
I loved everything that happened in the defensive tackle market this year. A lot of guys stayed put and made a lot of money and were just good re-signings. And then obviously the big one, Wilkins to Las Vegas. They're building a ground and pound defensive culture there. I mean, obviously they let Jacobs go, but I think they're going to go running back early in the draft. And I think Minshew's going to end up winning that quarterback job unless they draft a quarterback.
Ooh.
And I think that they're going to have built and are building with Antonio Pierce a real grind it out, punch you in the face kind of culture. And I think adding Christian Wilkins to that defensive line with Mac Crosby is just a fantastic move for them.
It's absolutely scary and lethal. And especially if you want to bring down the Chiefs, the key is pressuring Patrick Mahomes and making sure he's not on the field as well. Quickly, let's just go through the linebackers and then the secondary after that. Who in the linebackers has stuck out? Not too many moves at that position, but a few to make note of. What else from the linebackers?
I love Devin White to Philly. Again, Philly this year spent a lot of time filling out the pieces that they needed on their defense. And so I think I really do like White to Philly. He's a very fast, very fluid linebacker, and linebacker was one of their worst. I mean, they've drafted two in N'Kobe Dean and Devin Lloyd. N'Kobe Dean, they didn't draft Devin Lloyd. He's a Jacksonville Jaguar. But you know, you draft N'Kobe Dean hoping that, you know, your Georgia players will work out, and he just hasn't been the guy, and I think adding Devin White, who left Tampa, is a very big move for them.
Definitely. And I will also note here that's really good. Adding to Houston, Alshier going from Tennessee to there, adding to what they're cooking there from the defensive-minded head coach. In the
But they let Cashman go, which is a huge question mark to me. I mean, very good last year. I don't see why they don't bring him back. And then speaking on Minnesota again, who's spending like they're still in their championship window, Minnesota gave Cashman a very big deal. So that was a big question mark for me, although they do get a good replacement in Alshier, but I think they should have kept Cashman instead.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now let's look at the secondary, and then we will bring this all to a whole. So from our safeties and quarterbacks that moved, what's really excited you, Mr. Schaefer?
Snead to Tennessee is, I love it, I hate it, and I have questions about it. I mean, Tennessee is trying to build around their young quarterback, and they brought in Snead. They didn't give up much for him. I don't understand why. I mean, I understand with the cap that you need to get rid of him, but I don't understand why KC lets him go for that little. It didn't make sense to me.
Especially after the game-changing moves, you know, gets the crucial turnover in the AFC Championship, had a great Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I guess the only we're worried about is age, even though 29 as a defensive back, as long as you stay consistent, I don't think that should be much of a concern, but clearly to them it was.
Well, and Tennessee also made another, under the radar move where they signed Chibode Awuzie, who's
yes.
been very good in
Cincinnati
the last couple of years. And so they built a very good, 1-2 tandem at the cornerback position for themselves this year. Jalen Johnson going back to the Bears on what I would say is a cheap deal for Jalen Johnson, one of the top three or four corners in the NFL, is big for them. Winfield going back to Tampa and bringing Jordan Whitehead back. I think they were a very good safety tandem together when they played there. Now pairing them up again is very good. I don't really understand Cameron Curl to the Rams. There's a lot of moves the Rams made this year that kind of puzzled me, because they're another team that your quarterback's old and aging. You had your best defensive player retire. You lost a lot of guys, but you're still spending big like you're in the Super Bowl window, and I just don't see it. I think it's
that
time
one
for
playoff appearance must have given him a lot of confidence, I guess.
But I think it's time for Los Angeles to transition. I mean, Matt Stafford might still have some in the tank, so I could be totally wrong, but I think it's Los Angeles, the Rams' time to not spend so much, get some young upside guys, and get ready to transition to where you're going to be taking a quarterback in the next 2 or 3 years in the top of the draft.
For somebody who saw his team hold on to a quarterback too long in Eli, I think, cut the bait. You won your Super Bowl with him. You have a duo in Kupp and Puka coming out of nowhere, who's turned into one of the top three duos in the league. I agree with you. It makes more sense to at least bring in a quarterback to compete with Stafford to be on his feet. Or just try to see who's available in drafting in 1-2. Because this quarterback draft does have a lot of deep quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Even in the second round, if you want to go with like Sam Hartman and Notre Dame, as I mentioned, Michael Penix Jr., despite a Heisman finalist, is probably going to the second round. I would love to hear more on you, what you're going to say.
I'd say even till the fourth or fifth round, this is a stacked quarterback class. I mean, you have a guy like Jordan Travis, who, if not for the big injury towards the end of the year, would probably be a second or third round pick this year.
There you go.
A guy like Spencer Rattler, who lost his chance to Caleb Williams, who will eventually be the number one overall pick, who has shown flashes and has been good, who I think should be a third or fourth round pick, who will probably drop to the fourth or fifth just because of the sheer quantity of quarterbacks in this draft.
Right.
I think eventually that before the season starts, before the draft, Zach Wilson will be a Los Angeles Ram.
Mm-hmm.
It makes way too much sense. I mean, obviously, everyone says Mike LaFleur, he'll never take him back. They'll never work together again. I don't care. Mike LaFleur is not even calling plays there. So I think that Sean McVay is going to look at him and say, that's a raw piece of clay that I can mold. Stafford will be their quarterback this year, but I can give him a year off and I can fix him. And then next year, we can just pick up right where we left off. And that might be why they're spending, because their thought is that they'll be able to bring in a Zach Wilson or someone like that to be able to mold.
Change of scenery might be all it takes. So let's break it down. Two final questions. Kevin, once and for all, which teams got better after the free agency period?
So I've got five winners and five losers here.
Perfect. Break it down for us.
I have Baltimore as the number one winner. I mean, I love what Baltimore did. They kept Matt Ibike. I don't like that they lost some offensive linemen, but the Baltimore Ravens have always been an offensive line factory. They're going to be just fine. I love the people they brought in Derrick Henry. I think they had a very good offseason. Atlanta, number two, my number two winner. Kirk Cousins is the big reason why they're at two, but they still added some pieces and retained some pieces that will make them a much better team this year. So number three is they're a loser if injuries are an issue. If everyone stays healthy, they're my number three winner of the offseason, the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, Mike Williams, Tyrod, if they're all healthy, they're a winner. They're one of the biggest winners of the free agency period because they didn't spend very much, but they got a lot of quality players. My number four is Chicago. I mean, if Caleb Williams is what everyone says he is, Chicago built him a team to be successful starting right out the gate year one this year. I mean, they brought in a running back, a very good running back. They brought in a wide receiver one to be his wide receiver two. They have two picks in the top 10. I love what Chicago did this year. And then number five is either Tennessee or Cincy. My question mark around Tennessee is Will Levis. If Will Levis plays well, their moves made sense. If you know, we're not seeing it, but they are with Will Levis and he plays well, their moves made sense. And they could be a very good team this year. And Cincinnati, I love what they did. They brought in, you know, a tackle. I think they're going to be very good around Joe Burrow this year.
Yeah, I give you a lot of credit. I think all five of those teams should improve, from better protecting Joe Burrow to getting more pressure for the defense with the Ravens. Obviously, with the Jets filling exactly what they needed and a better offensive line, a legitimate backup quarterback, as long as he's healthy, is good. And and then the Bears, what they're cooking up for being bad for so long and letting that GM cook for years. This is the year where it has to make sense, and it's all on Caleb Williams now. Great stuff on this one. Now talk about the teams that underachieved in the free agency period.
Well, a team that basically didn't sign anyone but lost, you know, half their starters, the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean,
oh man, with a brand new coach too in Harbaugh.
Well, but I think they're my number one loser of free agency. But Harbaugh has been in the college ranks for a couple of years, and he is gutting this roster, and he's going to build it his way, and so that's totally fine with me. I talking about the draft, they have the number five pick. If you trade down to 10 with the Jets, who want a wide receiver or an offensive lineman, you trade down to 11, 12, 13 with one of those quarterback teams, or even back farther, you're going to get probably an extra one next year, a two this year. You know, if you trade with Minnesota, you might get two ones this year. So I think that's their plan, is to build through the draft, which college football is what Harbaugh knows. So I think they're going to move back and gain a lot of extra picks and try and build through the draft. And then they'll eventually, which it doesn't make sense to me, because you have a win now quarterback in Justin Herbert, who's going to have to get, or did he already get paid? He did get paid. I believe Herbert got paid. So you're going to have to, you should have been more active in free agency, and you shouldn't have gotten rid of all your weapons, but we'll see what Harbaugh can do.
Yes, very interesting on that one. So who are your other losers?
The Vikings, my number two loser, which is surprising because they added a lot of talent. But they lost Kirk Cousins. They didn't get a viable QB to really replace him. I would have loved to see Russ maybe in this situation in Minnesota, or Fields through a trade. But I think they overspent on a lot of players in a window where they didn't have the ability to overspend because they're looking at a rebuild. Miami, another one of my losers, and that's mostly because they lost a lot of big parts of their defense. Xavien Howard, gone. You have Christian Wilkins gone. I mean, I didn't like what the Miami Dolphins did. I don't think even adding Odell is going to tip the scale the other way. Carolina, I think they threw money at problems and at the wrong problems. I mean, they paid overpaid offensive linemen. They didn't get a big name wide receiver, which is something they needed to do this year. Like, that was the number one thing they had to do, was get a wide receiver for their quarterback. And so, and obviously they don't have a first round pick this year, but it is a deep wide receiver draft. But I don't think they addressed the issues they needed to, and they spent way too much money on positions and players that were not worth that money.
Oh yeah.
And the Packers are my final loser, specifically because they swapped out a better player for a not as good player and spent too much money on him. You know, they added some guys that are question marks to me, and I just don't think they did enough to build around Jordan.
Yeah, I wanted to see with those to react. The Jordan Love, especially with the momentum now, Jordan Love looks like a franchise quarterback, but he's still trying to figure out who could be his number one, unless they are going to trust with Christian Watson. Could have got another option there. I think the Dolphins are the most disappointing on my end, especially for a team that they felt last year, as long as everybody stayed healthy and if they had home field advantage, they would have won the AFC. They were that good enough that things would have worked that way.
Well, I mean, Miami's big signing is an injury-prone overpay of a center from Tennessee and Braxton Berrios coming back. I mean, if you're saying you're a championship-caliber team, that can't be your biggest moves. And you can't lose, you know, your best player. I'd say Christian Wilkins probably one of their best players, at least on the defensive side of the ball. You can't lose your best player on the defensive side of the ball and then
captain too,
not make up for it by adding things either on the defensive or offensive side of the ball. And they didn't do enough for me.
Yep. I bite him in the ass, man. I bite him in the ass. But regardless, we hit everything we needed to hit. Amazing show as always, Spank. We'll see you in a month to break down the draft. We're looking forward. Kevin's going to break down the draft for us. I'm sorry, I should say he's going to mock draft for us. Both will break it down together. But really excited to see that mock draft. It'll be up about a week before the draft. And then just check out our other content. And just in case you forgot, we have some graphics on the winners and losers from Kevin. And regardless, offseason has begun. And we have a lot to look forward to. See who's going back to the Super Bowl in New Orleans this year. But good stuff as always, Kevin. And I'll see you very, very soon.
Happy to be here. Thank you.